Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's Good Shepherd Sunday. We have this very short gospel in which Jesus, in other gospels, in fact, the cycle B, so last year, is the gospel where he says, "I am the Good Shepherd." And here he tells us, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." And the image of Jesus as a Good Shepherd is, it's an important one in the Christian tradition. It's a powerful one. It's probably one of the strongest images we have of Jesus emblazoned on our minds and hearts. And it's actually really impacted sort of the Christian culture, if you think about it, because we are, most of us, in fact, I would venture to guess that nobody here is an actual shepherd. So most of us are pretty far removed from sheep culture. There was a time in a place where shepherds played an important part in the life of the people, but that's not really our situation. We've maybe a few times in our life driving through the countryside or visiting some foreign country come across a shepherd driving his flock. But for the most part, this is not something that's really a part of our lives. You know, if the Lord wants to speak to us in terms we understand, this is something that's very, very foreign to us. And yet, the concept of the shepherd and the sheep is something that's kind of deeply rooted in our hearts as Christians. And just to point out a few things, just the fact that, for instance, when Jesus reconciles with Peter, which is what we heard last week. He tells them, he in a sense invites Peter into his shepherd's role. He tells Peter, after asking him three times, "Do you love me?" He says, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Right? So he invites Peter into that shepherding role. Bishops to this day, they carry, the two signs of office that we most commonly see at Mass and whatnot is the mitre, which is a sign of his authority, but he also carries a crozier, which is a shepherd's staff, right? So it's meant to be a symbol of the fact that the bishop is the shepherd of Christ's flock, the church. Even the word that we use for our boss priest, Father Steve, is pastor, which in Latin means shepherd. So this is something that the church has very much retained today, this image of Jesus as the good shepherd and the way the church participates in his role of shepherding. Now, what I would like to, let me back up a second. So one of the reasons I think that this idea of having Jesus as our good shepherd and the fact that he gives us the church to share in his role as shepherd and help shepherd all of us, the flock, there's something we need to understand. Part of the reason why we struggle with the whole concept of heaven and hell, I think you probably heard me talk about this before, is we've gotten into the habit of having some wrong notions of what judgment is about. So on the one hand, we could have a very legalistic notion of salvation, right? This notion that when we go before the judgment seat, that God is simply looking at he's weighing our case, he's looking at our pros and cons, our goods and bads, and deciding whether we're good or wicked, and then giving us either reward or punishment. Now, I think that's something that's not really an attractive vision to any of us, and it's not really the church's vision. But here comes the danger. When we dismiss that legalistic notion of God merely passing judgment on our lives and giving us some sort of reward or some sort of punishment, we dismiss that. Like, well, what understanding do we replace it with? And a dangerous understanding of judgment, brothers and sisters, is to say that that hell is really hard to get into, right? Because we know God loves us very much, and so we reject this legalistic understanding of judgment and salvation or condemnation, and we say God is so loving, he went to such great lengths to save us, so hell must be really hard to get into. And I think we have maybe in our minds this notion that hell is for mass murderers and people that do really, really rotten stuff. But I think part of what undergirds that idea is the thought that nobody would really knowingly, freely reject God, Right, this idea that if I stood before the judgment throne and saw God in all his glory, of course I'm going to love him and want to be with him. But that's not necessarily the case. Right? And I bring to your mind the thought of Lucifer, right, Satan. And before he fell, he was in the highest of all the choirs of saints, or all the choirs of angels. Right? His very name means the bearer of light. And he, with all of his angelic nature and all the glory that comes with it, seeing the face of God, as it were, knowing far, far better than any of us how good and how loving and how powerful God is, his pride made him reject God. Right? Lucifer, remember, the fact that there's a devil and demons means that there are many, many angels who know much more than us about God and who rejected him out of pride. Right? They chose him, they chose themselves rather than God. So why do I say this? And the tone of this homily is really not meant to be dark, so I'm off to a bad start, but it's going to get better, I promise. The problem is that if we think that we live in a safe world where pretty much everybody's going to find their way to God, and only the really, really wicked, who even knows how they got to be that wicked, would actually choose hell for themselves. That's a dangerous misunderstanding of the world, right? The reason that we need a shepherd is because the world actually is a dangerous place. And what I mean by it being a dangerous place is that there are many things in the world that compete for our love. There's so many things around us that are not God, that tried to kind of seduce us to love those things, to love creatures rather than the Creator. And the danger is that if we spend our life loving the wrong things, then it's very possible we could someday stand before the judgment seat, look God in the face, and not want him. Right? That we could choose ourselves, right? Our pride, our honor, our pleasures, our, you know, whatever. That we would actually want that instead of God. Right? And that's what we mean by the world being a dangerous place. So the Lord gives us, first of all, himself as the good shepherd, and he gives us, you know, other shepherds. He gives us the church, he gives us bishops, he gives us priests, hopefully good bishops and priests. And the idea is that we're walking through kind of a dangerous world, and we need somebody to take care of us, right? We need somebody to help us to find the right path. We need somebody to protect us from dangers, to warn us when we're about to go off a cliff or when a wolf is kind of attack the flock. You might want to say we need somebody to help us avoid loving the wrong things so that we can love the right things, which is God and whatever it is that God asks for us. So there's two things I really would like you to take away from this. When we think about the Good Shepherd, I actually want to talk to you about the importance of prayer, and there's two reasons why prayer is so important. The first is just to give a little bit of a reflection on my own experience sharing in the shepherdhood of Jesus Christ, is I know how much I love the people that I serve, which is, first of all, in the first place, St. Mary's High School and the students entrusted to my education, and in the second place, you. I've been here, I know this isn't my parish, but I've been here for 4 years saying Mass and preaching. And I actually love you very tenderly. I don't know if you know that, but I do. I care a lot about you. And I'm surprised, actually. My experience of the priesthood, I'm surprised at how quickly and how deeply my heart changed, right? The fact that I'm a priest and that the bishop entrusted these works to me, it's given me a shepherd's heart. My students at St. Mary's, there is almost nothing that I wouldn't do, or at least that I wish I couldn't, that I wish I could do if I were stronger, more virtuous or something. There's almost nothing that I wouldn't do for their good. I care very deeply about my students, and I definitely want what's best for them. Now, I'm the only priest here, I think, but there's a lot of parents here, and the way I would invite you into this experience is to think about how you love your children. Children, you just have to trust what I'm saying, but think about the way you love your children and how you would do anything for your kids, and how you don't love them selfishly, right? That's what a bad parent does. That's what a bad shepherd does. They love selfishly. They love for their own gain. But you don't love your kids selfishly. Right? You love your kids for their sake. And you want what's good for their sake. And sometimes you do hard things. You tell them difficult things. You punish them. You take things away from them that they want but you don't think are good for them. You give them things that they don't want but you know they need. How many times, parents, have you had the feeling of saying, I just wish they understood how much I love them and how I'm really acting for their good. Maybe they would respond to me differently. And I've often had that experience as a priest. I've often had that experience at St. Mary's, right? That I wish this student actually understood how much I loved them and how I'm not trying to hurt them. I'm not trying to upset them. I'm not trying to alienate them. I'm trying to tell them something that sometimes may be difficult or giving some sort of correction that's unpleasant to receive, but it's because I want what's best for them. Now, I would add to that experience this. I have on many occasions over the course of 4 years of educating a student, I've really built some good relationships with students. And I think I've succeeded in convincing some of my students that I love them. And when you really believe that somebody loves you, There's a deep trust that comes with that. And once that relationship is established, then sometimes I can tell them hard things. Then sometimes I can invite them into a good but difficult path. And I can do it because they trust me, because they know that I love them. So here's our first point about prayer. And I know prayer is difficult, and I know that we're very busy, and I know that in some sense, many of us don't know how to pray. But if we're going to trust Jesus as our shepherd, right? To not merely see him as a kind of a master telling us what to do, but as a shepherd who really cares for us and is trying to lead us to good pastures. He's trying to lead us to happiness. He's trying to lead us to salvation. It's really helpful if we can experience his love for us. If we can really hear him saying to me, if we can hear him saying to us, I love you. I love you more than you love yourself. I love you more than you can imagine. I want what's best for you, and I know what's best for you. If you entrust yourself to me, I will not lead you astray. If we can hear him saying to that, it's going to open up a deep trust in us. It's going to make it much easier for us to really not simply follow him in the sense of following the rules or following his commands, but actually trusting our lives to him and knowing that he has our best interest at heart. And knowing even if he leads us into a difficult path, or knowing if some sort of suffering comes, that he still holds us in his hand, and that he has our best interest at heart, and that really we can trust ourselves to him, and that if we allow him to take care of us, he will lead us to happiness. He will protect us from loving the wrong things, so to speak. The only way, really, to hear him say, I love you, the only way, really, to let him show us his love is in prayer. Now, certainly we can look in our lives and look at the blessings he's given us. We can look at external factors that are beautiful and show his love for us. But there really is no replacement for those moments that come in prayer where we actually receive consolation, where we feel the Lord's love for us in a direct and in unmediated way. And those experiences are what deepen our trust in the Good Shepherd. The second reason that prayer is so important with reference to the shepherd is Jesus talks about his voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now, if we take Jesus at his word, right, we must say, if we are in Jesus' flock, we hear his voice, we know his voice, we follow him. Now, let's be reasonable. Only under the most extraordinary circumstances does anyone actually hear God talking to them. Right. In case you're wondering, are holy people like hearing God speak to them when they get up in the morning and I'm just kind of left out of that? No. There are extraordinary circumstances in which people receive what they call locutions, where they actually hear a voice speaking to them. But most of the time, the Lord speaks to us sort of in the silence of our hearts. Or he speaks to us through our inclinations, through our desires. But the trouble is, brothers and sisters, that a lot of voices speak to us. So let's say that you desire something, or there's a path that you're planning on choosing. there could be the voices that you have to contend with is, first of all, your own voice, just your own human desires, which are not necessarily bad. In fact, one of the big rules of discernment, I say, is what does your heart want, right? Because that's one of the primary ways that Jesus does speak to us, is through our desires. But we can't necessarily, just out of the box, trust everything that we desire, because we're broken, we're sinful, we're easily deceived. Sometimes we love things that we shouldn't love. And so our own desires have to be tested to see if they're consistent with what God desires. Other voices that speak to us is, first of all, there are angels of darkness, right? There are temptations. There are things that the evil one, the enemy, places in our hearts to try to deceive us. And it's not necessarily easy to untangle those voices. It's not necessarily easy to know what's coming from me, what's coming from the devil, what's coming from the shepherd, right? And then you add to that all the voices just in your life, all the people around you that want to give you advice, all the commercials on TV that are telling you what to buy, all the images the media is putting forth saying this is what will make you happy, this is what you should desire, this is how you should live, right? There's all these different voices that are all speaking to you and trying to sort of draw you down a certain path. But we don't want to follow just any path, right? We don't want to follow just any shepherd. We want to follow the good shepherd, which means all those different voices that compete for our attention, all those different desires, all those different things that pull us in a thousand different directions, we want to be able to figure out which of those voices belongs to Jesus. Which of those voices that I'm hearing, which of those desires, those inclinations, is coming from the Lord? I will tell you, and I'm confident in this, I promise you, if you spend a life in prayer, you will probably, much faster than you even would think, you will learn to recognize, metaphorically speaking, how it sounds, but probably more literally speaking, how it feels. You will learn to recognize how it feels when God talks to you. And that's really the best way I can explain it. Through prayer and through the experience of prayer over time, we kind of learn to recognize God's signature. We learn to recognize this is what it feels like. This is what it sounds like when God talks to me. And once we develop and strengthen and foster that knowledge, then no matter how cacophonous the voices that are trying to draw us this way and that, no matter how loud those voices are, no matter how strong temptations are, no matter how confused or lost we feel, we will be able, because our life is rooted in prayer, we will be able to recognize the voice of the shepherd. We will hear him, and we'll be able to follow him to green pastures.